Blog Talk Radio.
Wins,
losses,
shutouts,
shootouts,
forehand,
five hole.
It's time for your recap of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey.
The most important interviews, best information, hottest news, and no topic is off limits.
Radio PI, now on the Radio PI Podcast Network.
Well, the Pittsburgh Penguins hang on, and hang on is right, as they clang and claw to a 3-2 victory in Game 3 of the second round series against the Washington Capitals, and now take a 2-1 series lead with this series in Pittsburgh. The Penguins go home, use the home cooking, and get a win. A few lucky goals, really, by the Penguins. They played well. They didn't play bad, but Washington made the necessary adjustments. We talked about, even on our mid-series program just last night, that Washington needed to get more shots off. Washington needed to work on controlling the puck, and the team with puck possession, which the Penguins dominated through the first two games, with the series being tied, and the Penguins easily could have been up 2-0, with the exception of a controversial overtime game. And Washington would have no chance. And they needed to improve on puck possession. They needed to improve on just getting shots off, just throwing shots at the net. And that would in turn involve Alexander Ovechkin more. Well, they get 50 shots on net. They control the puck most of the game. And Alexander Ovechkin gets a goal. A late goal, but gets a goal. They did everything we asked them to do. They did everything most experts would ask them to do, and they did everything they needed to do, and yet it wasn't enough. Kind of funny that it still wasn't enough, and it brings you maybe to harken back to the past history of the Washington Capitol franchise, especially with Alexander Ovechkin and all the playoff disappointments, so many great teams that did not even reach a conference final. He's never been to a conference final with so many of those great teams. Once again, a President's Trophy team. Yes, they're facing another great team in the Pittsburgh Penguins who are flying and have a stacked roster. But this Capitol team won't be able to make any excuses. And even while playing their best hockey, at least their best hockey of this series, you'd have to say Game 3 was their best hockey of this series and Game 1 was their victory. They just couldn't get the puck in the net. They weren't lucky. And Matt Murray once again did enough for his Penguin team to get a win. Whereas Braden Holtby continued to stand on his head at times, but had a bit of an off night with a couple bounces that did not go his way back in the first and second period. And the Penguins were able to cling and hang on to a Game 3 win, despite the Capitals really revving up the engine and flying late in that third period. They kept trying to set up Ovechkin for the exact same shot. He tried to find his sweet spot and get more than the one goal. Ends up scoring. They almost got a second one from him. But the Penguins end up winning this game 3-2 and have a 2-1 lead in this series. Is that enough to really wrap things up? Do the Penguins now have a stranglehold on this series? Can the Capitals come back even if they would lose game 4? Are they able to come back against this Penguin team? Is this Penguin team just the flat-out cup favorite and a team that really has played the best from start to where we are now in the Stanley Cup playoffs so far? We're going to get to all of that and also talk some Wilkes-Barre Scranton hockey as we did back in the first round and some of those post-game shows where we got our first post-game show, despite a mid-series show of sorts, discussing the Washington Capitals' first two games. Couldn't give you those post-game shows, so we do give you a Game 3 post-game show here on the Pens Initiative Airways and the Radio PI Podcast Network. This is all brought to you by Dr. Sheila of Sheila Chiropractics and DKPittsburghSports.com, and I am your host, Mike Osby, Keep going to the website, PensInitiative.com and PittsburghSportsInitiative.com for the articles, the analysis, and the asinine entertainment fun, as well as these broadcasts here on the podcast side. Penguins got three goals. The Penguins got a win. The Penguins lead now 2-1 in this series, and they're facing the best team in hockey from the regular season and roughing them up, at least getting the better end from the hockey gods. Even when the Caps put up 50 shots, even when the Caps play well, it is just not enough against Pittsburgh. Kind of gives you that destiny vibe for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm now going to bring on my guest for this program. He is a colleague at PensInitiative.com, in which he is our expert and providing the main coverage for Wilkes-Barre Scranton, the Baby Pens. That is Jeff Vermanchin. He is a former guest here on Radio PI, where he broke his podcast virginity. Jeff, do we have you on the show?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy to be back.
Yeah, did well the first time. I'm not going to ask you what you're wearing this time. I'm not going to get creepy like we did on your initial appearance in the program. But before we get to Wilkes-Barre and you give us an update and preview their action for their postseason, Jeff, what did you make of the game? The Capitals did what they had to do. The Capitals made the adjustments. The Capitals controlled the puck. The Capitals played puck possession hockey. The Capitals appeased the analytic community. Capitals got 50 shots of Ovechkin scored. But the Penguins still found a way to win.
Sure. I mean, you know, that third period really caught me off guard. I'm sure Mike Sullivan's not overly thrilled with the effort there in the third period. But to me, really, I think, like you said, the Capitals just kind of found that desperation and took it to another level there in the third period. Ovechkin, he found that goal, and hopefully for the Penguins going forward, that doesn't kind of get them going a bit. Murray obviously stood on his head there and was unbelievable under, you know, constant pressure there. I'm not sure we end up with 47 saves or so. Unbelievable performance by Murray, but I think the Penguins, would be wise to put that third period behind them quick, and a quick start in Game 4 is going to be real big. Obviously, we'll find out what happens with Letang. I personally think he'll at least get a game there. Wasn't the worst hit, but I think, you know, in today's game, it was avoidable. You know, I feel like it was avoidable, and anytime it's avoidable, I don't want to see anybody. I'm tired of the injuries when hits are avoidable. And I know he didn't hit the head initially, but, you know, there really was no reason for the hit. And maybe if the Stallberg play in the Ranger series doesn't happen, I think maybe he gets off the hook here. But I think we're gonna see Letang get a game at least.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because that's going to be the hot-button topic from this Game 3 besides the Penguins getting the win. Even with the Capitals' improvements, Capitals banging their heads against the wall trying to beat Pittsburgh in a playoff series, but also it's going to be the Letang hit and whether or not he's going to have a suspension. And the standard's now been set. The initial standard through the playoffs was we're basically letting everything go. He wasn't suspended in round one, as you touched on. Wilson wasn't suspended for the Capitals earlier in this series. The only player who has been suspended was a Flyer who's not even going to serve his games out until next season because they've been eliminated. So basically the NHL kind of let everything go, and there were a few hits out west as well. But Ben Orpik getting three games, which I actually thought, I felt like I was alone in this, that even though I would love to see him get three games, maybe even more because I don't want that in hockey, that based on the standard, based on giving nobody anything else and basically administering no punishment through the playoffs, I thought that was a bit much, and now that they did that, it would be hard to not give Letang anything. Do you feel that the Orpik suspension of three games, and as you said, Letang not getting punished in round one, and some fans upset about that, will that have an influence on if Letang gets a game or not, or is it just the hit by itself, forgetting all the drama, warranting at least the game?
You know, to be honest, Mike, I couldn't agree with you more. I think being that the Orpik hit just happened, I think that that's going to have to play a factor. You know, the Capitals were clearly already upset with the ruling. You know they're going to be pushing for for some kind of punishment here for Letang, more so than the Wilson fine. And like you said, I was shocked that Orpik got the 3 games. I was hoping for at least 3, like you said, maybe in the regular season 5. I was hoping for 3, but in no way, shape, or form did I expect that. I thought for sure he would get a game and we would move forward. But I think the NHL nailed it with that Orpik hit. That was a great job by them. You know, a lot of people upset with how they go about their business these days, and I'm really no different. You know, they're so inconsistent, but they really got that one right. You know, a lot of people are upset, especially, you know, Washington fans. But I think with that precedent just being set in this series, I think Letang has to get a game. And, you know, like I said, I didn't think it was the worst hit in the world, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We're not even talking about it. But it's just one of those hits. It was high, it was late, and it was avoidable. You know, he didn't have to make that hit. I wish he wouldn't have, because I don't know how the Penguins win a game without him in this series. I mean, how do you replace 30 minutes a night, you know, of not just 30 minutes, 30 quality minutes, you know, as good as it gets in this league. So I couldn't agree with you more. I think everything you said, you hit the nail on the head. I couldn't agree more.
Well, much probably to the chagrin of some other people that you're agreeing with me so much, but I will appreciate it, and I will take it as you agree with my wisdom there. Matt Murray, he's getting the credit. He is getting credit for sure, but he wasn't even one of the 3 stars in another game earlier this series where some thought he should have been in the Penguins' win in Game 2. He didn't make enough saves, I guess, to get there. Hopi was the number 1 star even in the loss. And up until Game 3, Hopi was outperforming Murray, which isn't anything to be embarrassed by. Hopi is an all-world goaltender. But Murray is almost being overshadowed by what Hopi has to do. But just talk for a minute on Matt Murray, not only now, not only what we're seeing in this series and the fact that he is emerging as a star and maybe even the future of this Penguin franchise and a goaltender this Penguin team can go to and maybe use without having Fleury around, maybe even use Fleury now as trade bait and up his value because of what they have with Murray. Murray is really becoming that guy for Pittsburgh. But did you see any signs of this from his early days in terms of being able to outseat Fleury this quick at what now, 22 years old, and become the star goaltender for a team that may win a Stanley Cup? He's only been able to drink legally for a year. Was there any flashes of this, or does this even still surprise you a little bit that he's doing this quick?
I mean, you know, last year in the AHL, he was the best goalie in the league, hands down. Jeff Zatkoff was an established AHL goalie. He had been an all-star in the league. He was certainly going to be the Penguins' number one going into last year, talking Wilkes-Barre, that is. And by midseason, Murray was the number one. He broke Wilkes-Barre's shutout record. He tied the league shutout record with 13. You know, he for a young kid, he's just so poised. And in the net, there's no flip-flopping around. I can remember when Marc-Andre Fleury was in Wilkes-Barre, he had all that athleticism and ability, but it seemed like, you know, his mechanics were a little bit off to where he had to make those super athletic saves rather than just be in position. And Murray, he's so calm and always in position and square to the puck that, you know, there were certainly signs, but like you said, I could not have predicted this already. You know, realistically, I thought Murray would be Wilkes-Barre's goaltender this postseason, and I thought he could do some big things. But to be at the NHL level and doing what he's doing against a team with that kind of firepower, you know, I'd love to say, oh, yeah, I saw it coming. But yeah, certainly flashes. He won the Goalie of the Year award. He was second in the MVP voting last year in the AHL. So he's got the ability. He certainly is a big piece going forward for the Penguins. And like you said, Marc-Andre Fleury may be on his way out because of how good he's playing. But no, I could not have predicted this. This is it's unbelievable, really, for a kid like you said. He's been drinking for less than a year. It's downright unbelievable. And like you said, Braden Holtby is, you know, one of the top goalies in the game. He broke Mario Brodeur's win record this year. To be overshadowed by Holtby is no small feat, but what Murray did tonight, I mean, you know, I personally, I just, I don't see how he ever makes his way back to Wilkes-Barre, that's for sure. I think those days are over.
Yeah, and Marc-Andre Fleury did dress as the backup, which is big for him, but I also don't see how, with the landscape, with potential opponents, with the Penguins being so favored beyond this round and this really being the team that could beat them if they were going to lose before a cup final, and with how they're playing and how Murray's been playing, I can't see Fleury really getting back in net at least this postseason, and then moving forward, it definitely will raise those questions in the offseason, no matter whether they win the cup or not, on what you do with Marc-Andre Fleury and his contract and what you do with Matt Murray and the future of this Penguin team in net. But I guess it's a good problem to have. You basically have a guy who's won a cup for you before that's a borderline Hall of Famer waiting in the wings now for a young kid who's been dominating on the ice in net throughout the playoffs. So it's a good problem to have. A lot of teams wish they could have this problem. And Murray finally had his coming out party game almost a little bit here in game three, with making almost 50 saves in a game where the Capitals were struggling to get shots off and the Penguins were peppering shots on offense, but the Capitals were struggling to maintain the puck and get shots off in the first two games. They finally switched that. The Capitals finally had their offense clicking, but they just couldn't find the net and they couldn't get goals because of Matt Murray. Matt Murray really, really was that good in game three. But Jeff, we're going to do a quicker post-game show here because I am tired and I've been doing a lot of radio and podcasting the last few days. So
these 8 o'clock starts, they're rough.
I know, they are getting rough. I saw on Saturday it's going to be a 7:15 start, I believe, for what then would be a game five. So they're finally gracing us with a more reasonable start time. I'm not really understanding. I don't remember in past years these being 8 p.m. start times. These are two Eastern time zone teams. You could easily start these at 7. I don't know. We can't control the NHL schedule, though, so it's there. And when we don't do the post-game show, we will give you some type of mid-series program or something. We'll give you the content one way or another on the Pens Initiative Airwaves and the Radio PI Podcast Network. But I got to also drink some pineapple juice to make sure my voice is finely tuned and the golden pipes are still clicking for myself. With all I've done, I've been talking up a storm the last 2 days, basically, whether here for Pens Initiative, whether on my personal podcast or doing other appearances on different radio shows. And it's all about this series, so I'm kind of a little bit sick of the Pens Cap series, to be honest with you. So I'm gonna give you the floor now and give you the microphone, and it's no longer going to be Pens Caps we're talking about, but give us an update, give us a preview, what's going on, what should we expect for Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and the Baby Pen?
Well, you know, when it comes to the AHL, this is Penguins Flyers. You know, it doesn't get any bigger in terms of rivalry than Hershey and Wilkes-Barre. I mean, it is one of those wars. You know, these teams absolutely go at each other, and you can expect plenty of the rough stuff, the after the whistle stuff. Similar to this series, I would expect big hits. You know, that kind of stuff is expected with the rivalry. But you know, Wilkes-Barre kind of pulled an upset in round one. They swept Providence, who was the hottest team in the league since Christmas. They did sweep them, but it was as close as a sweep could be. Obviously, the AHL plays five games in round one. Wilkes-Barre won three, all in overtime, and game three was in double overtime. Really, the heroes from that series for Wilkes-Barre were rookie goalie Casey DeSmith. Came out of nowhere, really. He was Wheeling's third goalie for most of the year. Comes up, ends up with a 2.45 goals against and a .930 save percentage, and in the overtimes was just unbelievable for a rookie to have that kind of poise. He was brilliant, and now the question is, you know, with a week and a half off between series for Wilkes-Barre, the organization has to want Tristan Jarry to play in the postseason. He's a highly rated prospect. He's obviously in their plans somewhat for the future. I would think they would want to get him in a game, but how do you take Casey DeSmith out right now is the problem. So for me, I think that's the big question mark. Do they go with DeSmith, the hot hand, or do they go with Jarry, who is an outstanding goaltender at the AHL level? And I really think the management, you know, has to want to get Jarry in there, but that's going to be interesting to me, who they go with. And then really, the other two in round one, the stories were rookies. Sprong came in and didn't disappoint. You know, he had three goals and an assist for 4 points in three games. He didn't play much in game one. He played on the fourth line with Tom Cestito and Teddy Bluger, another rookie. and didn't play much. Then in game two, he came out, was on the power play, turned the puck over early that led to a shorthanded goal. And you got to give Clark Donatelli a lot of credit. He put him back out there, and instead of the fourth line, he put him out there on the first line with Cale Mullerat and Dustin Jeffrey. And the very first shift he played with those guys, he scored, ended up scoring the game overtime game winner of game two, then scored again in game three. So Sprong came in, made an immediate impact, was brilliant. And then Jake Guentzel, this kid out of University of Nebraska-Omaha, just absolutely the player of the series, 3 goals, 4 assists, 7 points, was unstoppable. A lot like Connor Sheary when he came in a few years ago, just lightning quick, gritty. He's not afraid to go down below the goal line, take a hit, throw a hit even. And he goes to the front of the net, he tips in goals, he had a couple deflection goals, then he scored the series ender on a beautiful breakaway. The kid's got it all, and you know, credit to the Penguins organization. They've kind of loaded up the pipeline here. I mean, all the way down to Wheeling, there's good players up and down the system. That's kind of it for Wilkes-Barre. The keys going forward, obviously, are going to be that goaltending question. Who's in the net? I think either way. It's been a week and a half, so if they go Jari, I think that's a good option. Obviously, DeSmith's red hot, so if they stay with him, I think he's going to be great too. Hershey, you know, they have league MVP Chris Bourque. He's near the top of this league in the AHL every year in scoring. The guy's unbelievable, certainly an AHL Hall of Famer. They got a veteran goalie, Justin Peters, who's been, you know, an AHL All-Star. He's been in this league a long time, quality goaltender. Dan Ellis, obviously a veteran backup near the end of his career, but certainly viable if they need him. Really, for me, I went with Wilkes-Barre in my prediction for the first round because of their experience. They've got a lot of guys. Tom Kostopoulos has played in a couple Calder Cup finals. Dustin Jeffries won one, lost one. Will O'Neill, Cale Mullerat. They've got a bunch of guys who have gone to the Calder Cup finals or deep in the playoffs before. Really, for me, that's the difference. Obviously, Hershey has Chris Bourque, who's won before. But outside of him, it's more of a younger, maybe a little bit more dynamic team, similar to Providence, whereas, you know, the Baby Pens come in a little bit more of a veteran-laden team for the AHL with some young talent sprinkled in. And from my experience in the AHL in the past, those are the kind of teams that seem to get hot in the postseason and make a run. You know, Wilkes-Barre did, you know, they did sweep the hottest team in the league. Obviously, you go to the next round, that's all in the past. To me, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a bounce here, a bounce there. It's going to be one of those series. No doubt about it, I think it goes 6 or 7 games, at least 6, without a doubt. And to me, I think it's going to come down to the goaltending. I think, you know, Peters had a rough stretch during the year. They ended up coming back to him in game two after they had lost game one to Portland. They switched from Ellis to Peters, and Peters really, really played well against Portland. So if Justin Peters stands on his head like that for Hershey, with their young firepower, I think if Peters outplays Wilkes-Barre's goaltender, I think Hershey wins. But I think if Wilkes-Barre gets the goaltending they got in round one, whether it be DeSmith or Jari, like I said, they're both capable. I really think more than any series I've seen in a long time in the AHL, I think this one's going to come down to goaltending. Both teams, very similar. You know, they're both stingy. Hershey's really got a dynamic power play. Wilkes-Barre, Providence had the number one power play. Wilkes-Barre only gave up one power play goal in the first round. So if they can stay disciplined, stay out of the box, when they do take a penalty, if they can make it hard on Hershey, don't give up any of those easy ones. I think the experience of Wilkes-Barre, once again, I think it's going to be just enough. I'm saying Pens in 6. I think they're gonna win their home games and find a way to steal one down at Giants Center, but that's no easy task. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Hershey won this series in 6 or 7 either. It's that close. It's that much of a rivalry. It's a bounce here. It's a bounce there. It's gonna be outstanding hockey. You know, I encourage anybody out there, if you get a chance, to tune in on AHL Live or any other outlet, even on the radio. It's gonna be a lot of fun. It's gonna be a heck of a series, very similar to the one you're watching now between the two parent clubs. I think a lot of the reason that these two teams are such big rivals now, obviously you have the Sid and the Ovies and the Malkins, but a lot of the role players come up hating each other from the AHL days. You know, Wilkes-Barre Hershey, that is a bitter rivalry. It goes deep, and I think that has a lot to do with the NHL rivalry. So I think it's going to be great hockey.
And if you're a hockey fan, and assuming you are by listening to this show, there'll be more hockey for you to watch and be entertained by there with Wilkes-Barre Scranton and the Baby Pens, who also are exceeding so far into the playoffs and are going to have another riveting series for themselves in the AHL. But, Jeff, you really alluded to another goalie controversy going on with the Baby Pens, just kind of like the Pittsburgh Penguins could have and probably don't have
Absolutely.
Now, but maybe could have in the offseason. Right now, you're going to stick with Matt Murray. And there was questions on whether you, if Fleury was 100% healthy, if you would have went to him in game one of this series because he was the incumbent starter despite Murray having taken you through the first round. Fleury wasn't ready enough, so that argument really wasn't able to exist. But Fleury seems like he's getting going again and getting healthier. At this point, though, no matter what, if Murray is playing like he is and you're winning, I can't see the Penguins switching out and going to Fleury. That's just too much of a risk. But do you see a scenario for the Baby Pens that because Jari's the management darling and they might even want to just have him get some action and get some playoff games to even up his value, because if they're going to maybe trade Fleury and go with Murray, maybe they want to keep Jari for a security blanket and put him up to the Pens. Maybe they actually would want to trade him for more value and keep Zakov. Maybe they'd want to Philip Zakov and use Jari instead of Zakov, and Zakov kind of lost number amongst fans and maybe even Penguins as a whole. There's a lot of controversy around that, whether you're with the parents or whether you're with – could you see a scenario with the Baby Pens that they go to Jari and then he has a bad game and then they go back – and they basically play hot potato with the goaltender? Or do you think once they go with one guy, that's going to tell you in your mind, okay, they went with Jari, that's the management from Lemieux down, they just want to play, or they want to go with the guy who try to win the Calder Cup? What do you think is the goal here, and could they play hot potato with the
kitchen? Well, you know, I think that the layoff might have a little bit to do with it, you know, being that they've had a week and a half between Game 3 in the Providence Series and Game 1 in the Hershey Series. I, for whatever reason, my gut is telling me that they do go to Jari for the reasons you just stated. You know, management certainly may have to be relying on Jari at some point in the future, either for trade bait or, like you said, maybe as Murray's backup or security blanket. I think once you go to Jari, even if he doesn't play well in Game 1, I think once you go to him, you've got to stick with him. Personally, the way Casey DeSmith played in Game 1, if I'm Clark Donatelli, I'm going with Casey DeSmith. But at the same time, I just think that being that at the AHL level and that management thinks so highly of Jari, and there's no doubt the kid's a stud, you know, he's going to be the real deal. He's another really good goaltender. Outside of Matt Murray, he's the best rookie goalie to come through Wilkes-Barre, in my opinion. That's even better than Fleury when he was here. Murray 1, Jari 2, Fleury 3. I have no doubt in my mind at this point. But, yeah, my gut is telling me they go to Jari here, and I'm not totally against it. I think the kid can handle it. I think he may turn in a heck of a performance and steal this series for him. But like you said, it's a lot like the Pittsburgh situation, and I'll tell you what, my heart goes out to Fleury because he's had such a good year, an MVP-type year almost even. For the guy, the timing of that injury, you know, like you said, Murray's just too hot right now. You can't take him out of the net. And, you know, it would have been really storybook for Fleury to maybe have one last run here with the Pens. My heart goes out to him. You know, you got to feel for him. Tough timing with the injury, but hey, you never know what's going to happen. You know, maybe game four, the Caps come out hot and he gets his chance. So, you know, that's the crazy thing about playoff hockey. I guess you never know. In Wilkes-Barre, it's really a flip of the coin right now, but for whatever reason, my gut's telling me Jari. I just think they're going to go and let him get some playoff experience here.
It does really suck for Fleury because obviously he would enjoy getting a second ring on his finger, but he finally got back to an elite level the last 2 years. The critics were silenced. He admittedly was part of the problem for a few of those playoff series after 09, but the last couple of years it was not on him. He's become one of the better goaltenders in the league. He had a great regular season when healthy, Same with last year. And then this team is finally stacked around him. They finally have the depth. They finally have Kessel, Malkin, even Crosby, and Bonino, even, and all the way down. They finally have a team. They feel like they can win a championship again. And they don't even need as much from him as they might have needed in past years. And now he's not healthy, and now a 22-year-old kid is stealing his spot and going to lead this team. And it does kind of suck for him that if he would have his Penguin tenure end by a 22-year-old guiding them to a Stanley Cup where Fleury barely even really could claim being the backup in the playoffs, it would be bittersweet. I mean, you want to win a championship, but it would be bittersweet individually for him to go out on that note, because – he would not really be able to silence the critics the way he would want to do so, in a way maybe he could have done in the playoffs. But it also speaks to, Jeff, the awkwardness of minor league playoffs in any professional sport, because, yes, you want to win. Nobody, Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. Nobody's going to go out there and try. Yeah, no one's trying not to win. Your goal is to win. You play to win the game. You want to win a championship if you are in the playoffs in any level of any sport, even in the minor leagues. But you do have a parent professional club to worry about, and they are going to be able to give you some kind of tutelage on what you do. If you get a phone call from Errol Lemieux and telling you to do this, you really can't flip them off and say, no, we're trying to win, we disagree. You kind of have to worry about the parent club a little bit, and maybe it's not always where 100% of everybody is trying to win the Calder Cup. There could be some people with the big club that would prefer to just highlight a player to get them this game action, and maybe in their heart of hearts don't care if the baby pens win the Calder Cup. That's the awkwardness you're just honestly dealing with. You can't be naive to think that that doesn't exist. The parent club wants the parent club to win a title and everybody excel to eventually be with the parent club or be trade bait, and they're going to do whatever they can to make that happen, probably even above winning a Calder championship.
Oh, you're exactly right. And, you know, that's it's funny you say that, because that's a really tough pill for a lot of people in this area here in Northeast PA to swallow. A lot of fans here, you know, they're diehard, just like in Pittsburgh. You know, it means a lot to them. But at the end of the day, you do. You have to realize that your goal is to develop players and win. But, you know, number one comes developing those players. And Tristan Jarry being a high draft pick, highly rated prospect, with the Murray situation going on right now, the expansion draft coming up, you don't know what's going to happen. I just think to have Jarry sit idly by at this point, I can't see that happening. And, you know, obviously the goal, like you said, you know, go on YouTube and look at the Calder Cup championship teams. They celebrate just like they won the Stanley Cup, but it's like you said, there's people higher up calling the shots that at the end of the day, they need to see what Jarry can do in a high-pressure situation. And believe me, Hershey Giant Center, you know, they pack that place full, 10, 11,000 people a night, you know, best attendance in the league every year. That is a high-pressure situation, and they need to see their young goalie in that situation. And, you know, obviously for Wilkes-Barre fans, the hope is that he'll go and excel in that situation, and then everybody's happy. But really, I just think realistically, DeSmith's hot. You know, he's a great story. Shameless plug here, I wrote a story on Penn's Initiative about Casey DeSmith. Check it out. But really, you've got to go to Jarry here, I think. And my gut's telling me they will. And I think he's going to do well. But you hit the nail on the head yet again. I mean, you know, there's guys pulling Pittsburgh that just that are making those calls, and sometimes it doesn't sit well with the fans here in Wilkes-Barre, but it is what it is. You know, that's, you know, being a fan of an AHL team, you have to take pride in watching the Connor Sheary's and the Brian Rust and Tom Kunackles go up there and have a shot at a Stanley Cup, because, like you said, that's really what it's all about.
I'm gonna need to have you walk around with me on a daily basis and be my Flavor Flav. Get a megaphone and just keep saying Mike's right. Mike's right again. That's
Mike gets the nail on the head.
yeah. Just keep yelling. Get a big golden clock around your neck. I can see that. Just before you go, do you think the Pens got this against the Caps? Now, everyone would have thought going into the series is going to be 6 or 7 games at the minimum. 2009 was a classic series. You expected that again, even though we had to wait 7 years to get another edition of Crosby versus Ovechkin. But This series
hard,
has been more about
it's hard to believe
everyone
it's been 7 years.
But,
is it just me, or is it hard to believe it's been seven years already?
It's very hard to believe, and it also kind of is unfortunate because in a decade of two guys having Hall of Fame careers and building themselves up, you only get two playoff series. I mean, Bird and Magic had all those championship finals and all the, when you get two guys who are in the best of an era, you like to see them meet more in the playoffs, but they've only had these two. And that kind of goes back to, again, how I'm closing this. This is only the second series between Crosby and Ovechkin, yet this one, unlike 09, is more about the cast of characters. You got to get more from Ovechkin for the Caps to win, maybe more than you would even need out of Crosby for the Penguins to win because they're more loaded and have a deeper team. But it's about everybody else. It's about the full team now. It's not just about the individual guys. But that was a classic series. Those two guys were the best they could be, and it went seven. Not only is this series moving towards being over, but are you ready to call this and say that, you know what, the Penguins are going to make this not even a classic series and we're not even going to go six or seven, and Pittsburgh is going to do this in five or six at the most, and it's just not going to – I mean, you could argue it's not – if we have more games like we had tonight, even though the Capitals controlled the puck more, they just weren't lucky enough. And at this pace, maybe this is not going to be the classic series everybody thought it. Maybe the Penguins are going to be able to wrap this up quicker than maybe even the league would want from an entertainment aspect.
You know, I'll tell you, early on in that game tonight, I was really starting to believe that Pittsburgh was going to win these next three games. It was going to be over in five. But that Letang hit, you know, I'll tell you, if he doesn't play game four and, you know, Ovechkin goes off and the Caps get hot, I think, you know, once they're going, that's a tough train to shut down. But, you know, I really think even if Chris Letang doesn't play game four, I think Crosby breaks out in game four. I can just – there's nothing that leads me to believe that's coming from his play. I just really believe that Sid's gonna go off here in game four. And with or without Letang, I think game four is going to determine this series. If Pittsburgh wins game four, I think they win it in five. If Washington wins game four, I think eventually they win it in seven. I just don't think that they're a different breed than they were back in 09. You know, I don't think you can give this team
they are
momentum and let them get hot and get rolling, and then just Letang's back, and you flip the switch in game five. I don't think they're that kind of team anymore. I think if they get going, it's going to be a problematic for the Pens. But, you know, even without Letang, I don't think that it's insurmountable to think that the Pens can win game four. Obviously, they haven't gotten anything from Crosby, little from Malkin. You know, those guys can get going. And like you said, the depth of the team really is the strength. I mean, you know, you just never know when Matt Cullen's going to score a goal or Tom Kunackle's going to, you know, bank one in off his backside. You just really never know. It's been that kind of team all year. It's, you know, we'll see what happens with Rust, I guess. He went out early tonight and never came back. I guess, let me ask you this. Who do you go with if Rust is out? Do you go Bennett or Sundqvist?
Oh, Lord. I don't even know. I mean, they probably would go Bennett. I don't know if that's the right decision or not.
That's a tough one, isn't it? I was thinking about that before I called in. That's a tough – I don't know what I would do there.
Yeah, I mean, these are tough decisions, but I guess you don't mind making tough decisions like this because you feel like you're such a deep team and now you have a lead in the series and you're at home. That's why game three was a critical game, because if the Penguins lose this game, then the Capitals did the same thing to them that they did in Washington, and all momentum goes back to D.C. and the Caps. The Caps have really not had momentum since the end of game one. So these all little storylines, and Letang's going to be part of that, and if there's no punishment and no suspension, that might even motivate the Capitals even more. You don't know. I do like what you said, though, and I've been touching this everywhere I've been on air. The Capitals have a different vibe than they had in past playoff years and even though the 09 series. They're mentally stronger. They were able to come back in this game and almost tied this game up late. If this was a team of a couple years ago before Barry Trotz took over under Bruce Brugeau, when it was 3-1 and the Penguins were getting lucky, and even though the Capitals had shots on net, they just couldn't find the back of the net, there's no way in the world they would have scored, and there's no way in the world they would have been flying, and they would have made anybody stressed out late. They would have just collapsed, and that would have been it. They're a mentally stronger team. They're looser in timeouts. When they were in timeout with 30 seconds left to try to draw something up in game two, they were laughing. I mean, they have a championship-level looseness that they just know that they're really good, and they're ready to go, and they might not be as deep as the Penguins, but they feel like they can beat anybody. That's why they were the President's Trophy team this year, and they have that confidence and looseness. Now, will it translate to winning a series? We don't know, because so far, when they played their best game, and in terms of the numbers and shot and possession and Ovechkin, they played their best game in this game three, and they did not win.
Okay.
They won another game. So they played better here than they did in game one, and they won that one and lost this. So you just don't know. Destiny kind of feels like it's maybe still on the Penguins' side here. A lot of questions remain to be answered. But it does lead me to believe, though, if you're going to say that you think Sidney Crosby will step up and give you one of those Sidney Crosby best in the world games in game four, knowing how important it is, if Crosby does that in game four, I can't imagine they would lose. And if they win that game, it probably is a quick series and not a classic series. So it might even hinge on Crosby. If Crosby steps up and gets back to where he's supposed to be, that could end this series fast. If they keep Crosby at kind of this pace where he's an impact player, but he's not near a guy who can take over the game and one of the best players in the team, Kessel and Malkin have played better than him in most of this series, then you're going to still keep the Capitals around. But there's not much the Capitals can do to improve. They just bring game three again to game four and see if they can get more pucks past Murray, and Murray doesn't get as lucky as he was in game three, and maybe some luck goes to them. But I don't know, maybe the hockey gods are on the side of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Jeff, thanks for coming on the airwaves. We'll look to the articles for Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and the Baby Pens in their playoff series. We'll keep an eye on the Pittsburgh Penguins in their playoff series against the Capitals, see how this series goes. I'm not going to ask you what you're wearing because it's rather late, and I don't even know if I want to know that answer, since you're probably in bed or going towards bed. So I'm going to let you go to sleep. And thanks for coming on the show. Good work.
Mike, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Take care.
Absolutely. Jeff Furmanchin, our Wilkes-Barre Scranton insider. I'll give him that tag and title for PensInitiative.com. And I am just going to shut the book and shut this show off, because as I always say, everything's radio gold, but this might maybe more of radio aluminum. It wasn't my best show, but I do need to rest my voice. Been on air too much in 2 days. I always say I could do a 10-hour show and wouldn't miss a beat, but maybe that eventually would get to me. Jeff gave us the knowledge, though, in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. So if you're a hockey fan, and I don't follow them avidly, but if you're a hockey fan and you don't know much about them, still watch the games and be entertained by those games. But there's more playoff hockey besides just the parent club of the Pittsburgh Penguins. If you like hockey, you can be entertained by Wilkes-Barre Scranton. You can be entertained by the Baby Pens. And I do recommend tuning in and checking them out. And then looking at the articles from Jeff Furmanchin and the rest of Pens Initiative and the team covering Wilkes-Barre Scranton. But most importantly, it is about the Pittsburgh Penguins. That is why it's Pens Initiative for the Pittsburgh Penguins, not Baby Pens Initiative. And this Penguin team does have that destiny vibe, because let me tell you, the Washington Capitals did what they needed to do. Everyone was telling them, you have to control the puck, you have to get shots off, you have to just pepper the net. That's how you win in the playoffs. No matter how talented you are, you can't get too cute. They listened, and they did it. 50 shots, but Murray stood in his head. Murray stole the game. Maybe this is the goalie that steals the game. You always have one of those game for your goalie in a postseason series usually when you win. Maybe this was the game that Murray stole. And the 22-year-old kid led the Penguins to another victory, and now a 2-1 series lead, 3-2, over the Washington Capitals in Game 3. Ovechkin does score late. The Capitals get another one. Ovechkin does not get his second, despite being set up time and time and time again in the offensive zone. They get 50 shots. Murray ends up being that brick wall through most of the game. And regardless to what the stats may show, regardless to the analytics for this one, The Pittsburgh Penguins get the win. The Pittsburgh Penguins have a 2-1 series lead, and Game 4 will potentially be for the series. We all thought a classic series was going to exist. We all thought it'd be 0-9 all over again. We all thought it'd be 7 games no matter who wins. Penguins win Game 4, and Crosby finally gets one of those best-in-the-world-style games. We're still waiting for him to produce, despite him giving you a little bit more of an impact every game, but we've yet to see him take one over. If Crosby does that and the Penguins win again, I'd imagine even a different Capital team with a different vibe and a mentally stronger Capital team, they still might almost be forced to fold the tent, and this probably will not go 7, and the Penguins will get out of this series again in 5 or 6 games like they did in round 1, moving towards potentially another cup run with a favorable matchup, whether it be the Islanders or Lightning in the Eastern Conference Final. But if the Capitals play like they did in Game 3, and I'd imagine they're going to keep that same pace and keep that same strategy, and maybe they get luckier and get some bounces they didn't get in Game 3, and Murray can't stand on his head forever, you'd imagine, because Holtby still did play well in net for Washington, and Ovechkin maybe gets going as he scored a goal in this game, so he kind of started to get going, and they kept setting him up, and he gets more and more involved every game as they go this series too, and the Capitals tie the series, in which both teams split on the road. Capitals then would get one in Pittsburgh, whereas the Penguins got one in D.C. Capitals would have all kinds of momentum again. They'd immediately steal momentum back that they haven't had in about a week now. And then with Game 7 being in Washington, since they did win the President's Trophy, it does give you something for doing that in the regular season. Then momentum and advantage might go back to the Capitals, despite anything going on drama-wise and suspensions with Letang and Orpik and all that stuff. So Game 4 is it, probably. But until then, as we will give you, if not a post-game show, because I do have to pick up an uncle at the airport, and I believe Nick is also not available, so if not a post-game show, we will give you a day-after broadcast to allow the emotions and the brain to really let it all sink in. So if not a post-game show immediately following game four, which is a critical game to the series that they just touched on, I will promise to do something for you 24 hours later, if not even before that. So the next day, I will promise to do something in terms of on-air activity and a podcast for you on PensInitiative.com and PittsburghSportsInitiative.com here on the Radio PI Podcast Network and the Penns Initiative Airwaves, where I will talk about that game and maybe even do it more intelligently, because you'd be able to let it all resonate. I always say it's a gold quality broadcast, but I'm hard on myself, so I don't think this one was. In a rare aluminum quality broadcast here, a silver quality broadcast, maybe bronze, of the Stanley Cup playoffs post game show here for Radio PI. I was your host, Mike Osby. Once again, thanks to Jeff Vermanchin. Thanks to all of PennsInitiative.com and PittsburghSportsInitiative.com for the coverage, and keep going to the websites. This was a post-game show here. Game 3's post-game show. Pens win. They win it 3-2 and have a 2-1 series lead in their second-round series against the Washington Capitals. Penns Initiative Airwaves and the Radio PI Podcast Network. They won. They got 3 goals. They deserve. Andrew WK, Party Hard. Penguins Goal Song will close this broadcast out. When it's time to party, we will party hard.